the Lord. Feel good this morning? You know, the Lord's children has never lost a battle, really. Did you know it? You ever think about that? Sooner or later, the Lord brings them on through, brings them out of whatever they get in, but it's their duty to stay firm, stay as solid as he does. He's not moved, he says. Amen. And David said, they look into the hills. He knew he had a God sitting in his right hand that shall not be moved. He said, I shall not be moved either. It's wonderful. Lord, your children here this morning, because you're going to bless them because they love you, and they're going to worship you. And church is to worship the Creator. That signifies that we believe in you when we worship from a heart together, not in embarrassment, not ashamed of you at all, because you're the real one. Everything else in the world is just material. Only the spiritual is real, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? And we have that spiritual thing today. Now bless together, heal, touch the bodies, Lord. No matter what their problem is here this morning, deliver and bless them. Meet their needs. If some are in debt, guide them out of it, Lord. Give them a job and meet their needs, blessing them spiritually and otherwise. Let's give him a good hand clap. Thank you, Jesus. Strange sermon. All right. Lord, bless your heart. You be seated. We won't televise this morning, probably tonight. And I'll be praying for the sick tonight. And we'll be believing for miracles. And also, January the 20th, we're having four straight nights. Well, I'll be praying for the sick every night that the people are here until we begin to get it rolling towards the weekend. And then sometimes in February, we're coming back again. And then we do have some other things that the Lord will be doing. And I believe he's going to really, really bless his people. Did you see television this morning? How many of you saw that this morning here? Well, Lord, bless your heart. I got to see some of that one. I kind of helped put it together some, you know. And it tells the truth about those things out there. We have other films that are very dramatic that are coming out later on that will be released that shows why the world's destroyed and so forth like that. And if I had more time to go into the prophecies and a different type of setup with material, then we could make a type of movies showing how that God said the world would be ended and what it would be caused by, how he would be moving, and the kind of destruction that would come, where it would take place, and just about when. Now, we don't know the exact day or the hour, but as a warning, preparing the children of the Lord. But it is right. The Lord explains these things, and he brings them to pass. And I didn't get to see it on television this morning because very seldom I ever get a chance in the morning, but I see it when it's put together sometime. But anyway, did you learn anything this morning? How many of you learned some? It's similar to what is in the Bible, in the Scriptures, bringing it out, and it's really wonderful. I like the way somebody says, yeah. Can't you say, amen, praise the Lord. God, boy, you know, hard as I preach right here, you think it'd be more unction, don't you? And I imagine Jesus when he was walking, no wonder he sighed and looked back up, amen. Why did I come, amen? Sure he did, because he was the same one the Bible said he repented that he made such a thing as he had made. But as long as he did, he provided already a way out, knowing what it would be like. How many of you believe that? He knows all things, and he does all things. And one time, we're going to touch on it just a moment this morning here, and I have a little more time, we're not televising, to talk to you and to bring it out. I know sometimes you're down, and that was kind of in humor for the whole church to kind of get up now and get ready for a revival, get to expecting him. You know, if you're beginning to get closer to the coming of the Lord, you begin to expect, you begin to show it because you're alert, and you know at any hour he can come. Not only that, none of us have a guarantee about tomorrow, the Bible says. You know, it's like a vapor. You come and you go. But if you have the Lord Jesus in your heart, there is no worry there. No matter how it takes place, you are all right. Isn't that wonderful? But, you know, and the Lord preparing all things well. Everything that he did, like one time I preached that all the material was in the earth already to make man and so forth like that. And all he did is come along and put it together and breathe in it and so forth like that. He prepares all things together. And then Eve taking out again prepared there. And all of that took place. And he prepares. And he told me, and this is the truth. And I wondered, when I first went to ministry, the Lord working miracles and very dynamic miracles, some of them tremendous powers to create. And always come out of me that the Lord foreknowing us in mine own life, the way that he called me into the ministry, I could see predestination like no one else. Apostle Paul could see it better than anybody. The way that the Lord, you know, one day he was fighting the church, and the next day he was the chief among the apostles. Can you say praise the Lord? And he knows those seeds, you see. And I always bring it out, how that God foreknows. And I've even, at first, you know, in the deliverance ministries, I could name quite a few of them this morning that I first got to meet, you know, and they liked the ministry, and they felt it, knew about it, you know, and it was different. Now, they were quite a bit older than I was, and it was different. And it was kind of hard for some of them, even some working miracles, to know that predestination, the way that the Lord works, And because we're not to stop. We're to occupy all the time. We're to witness, and there's where it comes in. Even if people don't understand, you see, they say, well, why tell them? Why witness? They don't want God. But that witness has got to be there before he comes. And witness to all nations. It didn't say he would save all nations, but it said witness to all nations. You know you're not going to save them all, so it is the witnessing, a working, a daily work. Even if you do believe in predestination, how that God calls by election, that's not good enough just sit down and say God will get them by election. No. He wants us to witness. He wants us to deliver, even those that may not make it in the first group. He wants us to work with all of our heart, just exactly. There wasn't any hour, any time when Jesus come to his people as the Messiah. Did you ever notice? When he had time off, he was praying at night. He was up early in the morning. He was going. His time was short. Our time is short, too. And we must hurry. It is swift events. Behold, I come quickly at the end of the age. So he told me. And I know I'm right about election, too, and how the Lord moves in his different positions. Even that's described in the Bible, akin to the sun, the moon, the stars, how in his positions among the saints, and also the positions among the people, the Hebrews, the Gentiles, the brethren, the heathen, and so forth, that never hear the gospel. All of that's in the Bible, and it's explained perfectly to some of those that never got a chance to hear the Lord Jesus Christ. All of that's written on their conscience, and he knows the seed, who they are, and what he's doing. He has a great master plan, a manifold plan of the ages, a great plan. So he told me, I said all that to say this, as I was praying, the Lord revealed to me, he said, if it were not for election, the whole plan of salvation would have been thwarted by Satan. And he said, because of election, he cannot do it. How many of you can say praise the Lord? If we're not elected, we can thank God this morning for election. There would hardly be anybody. It'd be like the days of Noah, really, at the end of the age. But because of that point, and there was election right there, and only what he wanted to elect as a sign to the world. And this morning we're going to touch on the election and salvation that we have here. Did you ever wonder why that you came here or why you were sitting in this building? Most of you that are sitting here this morning, you can thank God because of election. How many of you believe that? And in a moment here, and then I put here, Satan does not like election. How many of you know that? For one thing, he was left out. That's why he doesn't like it, you see. Preachers have took and twisted election up. And it doesn't mean the same thing that the Bible says. But it means exactly what it says. And Satan, he doesn't like it because he cannot get everybody that way. And he never will. And I'll tell him right here. And he'll get mad if he hears it in the air or wherever, in here anyway. He cannot. He will not get that real seed of the Jew or the real seed of the Gentile. How many believe that this morning? See, you're sealed in, aren't you? If you believe this word, you're elected. If you cannot believe the whole word of God, you're not elected. That's exactly right. Satan comes in every measure that he can come in, you know. And I'm going to pray this right here. Some of you may disagree, but I have to say it here because of election. And preachers go as far as this with one God as they can do it, even the Baptists. And they say Jesus is God. Oh, yeah, they're starting that now, but I'm so heavy on it. Television, every way that I move in my literature. And they say Jesus is the Lord. But be careful. They turn right back around and baptize Father, Son, behind your back. Uh-oh. See? Watch him. He's gimmick. How many of you believe that? They're going to get them all, see? No, if you believe Jesus is God, everything's done in his name like the book of Acts says. Because that's what it means. The name of the Lord Jesus, may Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you got it anyway. Why argue with him? How many of you say amen? Amen. He sent it back in his name, didn't he? Glory to God, hallelujah, is this election day? It is, isn't it? They're doing that, so be careful, or they'll come back another way. Three individual personalities in one. No. That one personality. Lo, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Do you believe that? And three manifestations, the Fathership, the Sonship, and the Holy Spirit. But that one personality is working. He won't leave it up to three to argue about it. They got to be two in heaven, and God said, you'll have to go. Can you say praise the Lord? So Satan does not like election. And those that believe it that way, honestly, your faith is more powerful. You love Jesus more? Oh, he'll test you. You'll have your trial. But let me tell you something. You're standing in a total different light and a total different power than they'll ever realize until they get to heaven, if some of them get there through the great tribulation. Can you say amen? He is full of mercy and full of divine compassion. He'll pull all of them out of there, the fire he can get out of there. You watch and see, because of election. Because some won't always see it this way. Neither did they have the opportunity to hear it this way either. But he does deal, and he knows, and he is fair. Won't the judge of the whole earth do that which is right? He will, too. You can count on it. It's Satan that gets in there throwing that paint all over the thing like that and clouds it all up. And you say, my land, why did the Lord create all these people and all the misery and war and all of this on the earth? He has a divine plan. He's teaching you man cannot do it, never will do it, but he can and will do it. Amen. We will have peace through him, and he is the Prince of Peace. It calls us all back together. He's the only one that can do it. Human nature cannot do it.
It takes the Almighty that spun these planets out here in the world, and he's about ready to call time on this one here in just a few years, a few days, a few hours. How do we know when? But it's coming. It's a short time. Election and salvation. Now that we know that Satan, he does not like election, you see, but it's coming. Because the Lord is performing a plan. Without election, we would have been the ones blinded today, and the Jews would have received it all. That's him talking right now. And so I know, by election, the whole plan would have been thwarted by Satan. He just left it wide open to him. The people cannot exactly stand on their own. They must try all they can. But by faith, there's where it stands. In the Word of God, he will, if you believe it, he will take in. Now, Jesus working through the Jews, this is one time that Jesus worked through unbelief. Did you know that? Not healing and working miracles, but it was a miracle. And this is one time that he did it. And through the unbelief of the Jews, he was able to bring in the Gentiles. Paul speaks all about it here. And the Lord allowed the unbelieving seed to stand up just at the hour that he was coming, according to Daniel's prophecies, so the Gentiles would receive his salvation, his gifts, his mercy, his love, and his divine life, or they would not have received it. At that time, they were blinded. It was the seed that blocked it, that stood up, that caused it to turn to the Gentile. We were left out completely for almost 4,000 years. And here, all of it came. He just threw it all in the hands of the Gentiles. And they were blinded. Only a few Jews can see the light and come out to the Lord Jesus Christ. But at the end, many will see the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says. 144,000 will be sealed to know that answer and the revelation of it there. And then he just swept all that unbelief out of there that he could, brought on the apostolic aid of the Gentiles, and the faithful, the seed of faith and the seed of power went forth. How many of you believe that? It's exactly right. So that time, and then Paul says to not to be mad at him and what happened there. And he's telling us in chapter 11 of Romans, we cannot leave it all. It'd be a two-hour sermon if you did. It said, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. He goes on to say that, you know, he's an Israelite from the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. He said, God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew and will foreknow to the end of the age. Then Elijah, the great prophet one time, he had been battled. He had been kind of rejected. He was rejected. Until it got in such a way, he said, Lord, they have killed all the prophets. They have destroyed anything that believes in God. I and I alone and left, the Elijah. I am only one left. And then he was ready to pray against Israel. He was intercessing, it says here, against Israel, all Israel. He was going to bring a catastrophic overthrow on them. It had reached that point. The prophet couldn't stand any longer. And then God called him into that cave and began to deal with him. Shrouded in that mystery mantle, he looked out at him. And he said, Elijah, we'll not destroy them all. There's 7,000 of them that'll never bow to Baal. How many of you can say, amen, I have elected them, that's why. Or they would have got them. And then in the elected seed in Elijah, and Paul used that saying, God forbid, he foreknew his people. And we go on down through here, and it says in here, let's read this, verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of the mystery, lest you should be in your own conceit. And he goes on telling, blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. No one. All Israel. Now, not everything in the Holy Land is Israel. Did you know that? But the real, not every Jew over there is Israel. But the real Israelite from the seed of Abraham and us from the faith and the seed of Abraham of the faith, all will be saved. Not a one of those will be lost. See, election, how many of you see that? And what he says, God forbid that he will cast away his people that he foreknew. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the election of the Gentiles and the election of the Jewish seed shall not be cast off. It will take place, and there isn't anything that Satan can do about it. He cannot do it because of one thing, the election of God, as we witness upon the earth of his kindness. How many of you believe that? And he goes on, he says here, until the fullness of the times of the Gentiles be come in. We're fulfilling time. We're in a transition period right now. In a 40-year time when Israel come in to become a Jewish nation, finally brought back, as the Bible said and predicted, they would be brought back until the times of the Gentiles. And then when our time runs out, the tribulation begins, then the Jews get back to Hebrew prophets and are sealed in Israel. And he goes there. But we go here. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. That was him. Jesus came, the Messiah Paul's talking about. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Now concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. See, they were the enemies to the Gentiles. Absolutely. And here Paul straightens it out. They were enemies because he himself was an enemy to them too. They are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. Can you say amen? See, even some of those that got out of line, some of those that got confused and messed up, he will bring again. How many of you can say amen? He knows what he's doing because of the election. Now, at the end of the age, there will be a seed completely, and he will call him along there. This election is wonderful. For our gifts and our calling on God are without repentance. What God said he would do, he will not repent this time, and he will not repent of his foreknowledge. He will not repent of the election that he has cast before his people that we can count on. And we, if you count on that election in your heart by faith, you definitely will make it in there. How many of you believe that? He knows what he's talking about. When he forgives you your sins, and it don't even matter. Sometimes you may get out of line and say the wrong things, but election will hold you until you walk completely away from him. And then you're on your own, and no matter backslider or what happens to you. But as long as you love Jesus on that election, and you repent and confess to him your shortcomings, he will hold you until that day. How many of you believe that? This is Bible all of the way. And he will not cast off his people, as bad as Elijah thought they were. He was ready to completely overthrow them. If he could call fire out, there wouldn't even been anything in Israel right now, because he had reached the point of annihilation in his heart. And God had to stop him and say, there's 7,000 you don't know anything about that love me, and I've elected them. And Paul used that on the state of election here. Paul says the election at the end of the age. And we begin to see the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And the Lord called somebody, and even what he called Judas, that's without repentance. In that point there, he went ahead and sent him because he had to come. The person of perdition came in there. And the ministries today, the people today, if you're gifted, you're calling, he'll go ahead and bring that. And he'll come along its way, the good and the election of the bad, and whatever it might be, it will come. My own life, watching the Lord move in such a way. Totally different Judas, though, I will admit that. I preach salvation, Jesus stand right with him. But my own life and predestination, how God calling me and telling me to go to my people, go to those that are elected, and they will hear you. How many of you believe that this morning? I know what he told me. And he has a people. I know he has a people. He told me he had a people. He has an elected people to hear the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? That's wonderful. And so, to the people, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And despite everything I did as a young child, going out in sin as a young teenager, like they all do today, I understand very well the problems that they're in and what is taking place out there. And as a teenager and getting into problems of drinking and different things like that, very young, and then with predestination, providence, despite myself, despite anybody else, he said the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. I've had it all my life. He said, you'll come at the right time. And always in my heart, I felt something was going to take place, and I was running from it. I didn't actually want to do anything about it. I didn't want to do it. Feeling in my heart all that burden, yet running in the opposite direction, something like old, the Jonah did nearly, just about. Running from it, you see. But finally, when the hour ticked away, and the lights and God was just right, it turned, that was over with. There he is, see? And all my heart, saved and conversion, nearly, you know, and the problems that I was in, and nervous exhaustion, and the health that I was in, and all of a sudden, by divine light and the power of the Holy Spirit, it just turned just from black to light, darkness. It just turned around just like that. Despite myself, he called me and said, go. Can you say amen? Of course, I had to jump in and go along with him because I didn't want to go back the other way. No, he done showed me. Boy, I go this way. I mean, believe that. If you go through a lot of snares, like tigers and everything else jumping all over you, and you go through pitfalls and quicksand and jungles and darkness, and you're going all through there, and you finally get to the end where you're nearly dead, and you just go through there, and all of the tribulations and trials in that is incredible. 5-10 million times worse than a Christian will ever have to face to get out there in the world and get involved in that. Ask any of them that's really got involved in that as a teenager and a young man out in there. When he finally turned it just right, he knew the exact hour that I'd agree with him. And I did. And when he turned it, then I jumped in instead of going back that way. I don't want no more of that, see, anyway. And I went that way with him. And it has been marvelous. See, no assurance except that he talked to me and he told me, and the rest was by faith, and then see what he would do. And all along, he was with me. He'll do the same thing for you. And you don't want to go back in that direction. You want to stay with the Lord. Isn't that right? Stay with the Lord Jesus. So there's election despite anything. His great divine love, his great mercy, reach right on down and says, by election, son, you shall go and talk to my people. By election, Jonah had to go back and do it anyway, didn't he? In his particular time. Our ministry is different, surely. But that is exact. And every one of you here today, all of you in the audience today that are sitting here, that's in this service today, his great divine love. You're not here by accident to hear this. He wanted you to hear it. And by his great divine love, he reaches down. Or you would be in the terriblest messes, worse than you ever dreamed of in your life. You may have a few tests and trials today. But let me tell you something. You're in a good place when you're in the hands of the Lord. Can you say that? They have a commercial that says you're in good hands with Allstate, but you're in good hands with the Lord. Amen? That's exactly right. Not knocking that. That's right. I'm not trying to knock that, you know, that company or anything like that, but it's in the hands of the Lord. It is really great. It's all powerful, and we believe that. All right, now. So he comes down through here. The gifts and calling of God without repentance, he's going to get it. He's going to come and get that. And it says here, and then, but for as ye in times past have not believed God, ye have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Now, God has given the Gentile mercy through their unbelief. Now, you see how he did it? If it were not for the blindness of Israel, if they would have accepted it like the Gentiles, then we would have been blinded, and all of us have been like they are in different parts of overseas, stumbling in darkness that never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it would have been still a monopoly of the Jews. They monopolized it for about 4,000 years nearly, and it would still have been a monopoly, and God seen to that. He broke it up, and the Gentiles got it all. Can you say amen until the hour that he really goes back? Only a few Jews will be converted. Only a few will be saved in God's great manifold plans. Your life is well planned, saith the Lord, by the Lord. Amen. He plans it well, too. And even so have these also not believed. And through their mercy, they have also obtained mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief. He said they're all in unbelief, that ye might have mercy upon all. He included them in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. Isn't that wonderful? Upon the Gentile, upon the Jew, part Gentile, have mercy upon all. And he did it right there. He has a great plan. And if you could, then Paul couldn't go any further. Now, we didn't read all this because there's two chapters of it. You might read back chapter 11 and 12, and you get it yourself for chapter 11 here. Finally, when Paul looked this all over, here's the words that he said. He said about election in his own life and everything, bringing in my life some there. He said here, oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom of the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways are past finding out. Isn't that wonderful? He's unsearchable. How depths of his wisdom and the richness of his glory is incredible, Paul said, to see this. For, it says here, for who hath known the mind of the Lord? Yeah, that's what I want to know. We might have the mind of Christ all right in certain things, but who hath known all of it? No one. See, who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Do you think somebody's going and coming to him and counseling him? Like maybe the Lord Jesus or the Holy Spirit? No. How many of you are still with me now? Amen. Who hath been his counselor? He is the Almighty. And when he comes to us, he has that power that he gives us. Or who hath first given to him that it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory and majesty and all these things together. Can you say amen today? Let me read something here about how this took place. In the prophecies, real quickly. Prophecies concerning the judgment of Jerusalem when he was rejected. Listen to this. He predicted the desolation of Jerusalem 40 years later, about 69-70 AD. Titus's armies overrun them and scattered them into all nations. He predicted. Then he predicted they would come back. It said Jerusalem to be laid even to the ground in Luke 19:42 and 44. He foretells the house of the Jews to be left desolate. They were left desolate, coming to the Gentiles. He predicts utter destruction of their temple, and it was destroyed, and one stone was not left standing upon another. And he predicted it 40 years in advance, and it took place as the armies and Romans overrun it at that time. And many deaths, they died during that time because of the rejection of Jesus, Matthew 24 and 2. And then at the end of the age, they'll raise up another temple, but it will be destroyed too, as it says in Zechariah, different parts of the Bible. And then they will build a millennium type of temple at that time. Then after all of those things, a millennium, there'll be a holy city. But the bride goes way up before all this latter part that we're talking about here. And he tells us that. So he predicts utter destruction of the temple. The ground will be split, be carried away there at the end of the age, and the Antichrist destroyed. Foretells the Gentiles' dominion over Jerusalem until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And surely this was the truth. As we saw, it was dominated by Arabs. It was dominated by the Gentiles until the Israelites and the Jews went home during that time. He foretells the judgment on the population of Jerusalem. And it says, Luke 23 and 30, Luke 23, verses 28 and 30. And he said it would destruction would come upon them there. Then he predicts the judgment of the abomination of desolation that shall take place. Now, I believe this will come in the Middle East when it takes place. We read it in the Bible here. And there's great sermon to this. And I don't want to go into very much detail in this because we have a sermon on a cycle that I want to preach one of these days. And it will be a prophecy that will reveal things to you. But we will read this much. He predicts the judgment of the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, and spoken by also himself here. And when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by the prophet Daniel, stand in the holy place. See, Something is standing in the holy place. Either the vile Antichrist or the image of the Antichrist is standing there in the holy place, which is alone set aside for the Almighty. It's set aside for the Lord. But here, there is something the opposite of the Lord, trying to take the place of the Lord, saying that I am God and this is my image, and so forth like that. The false Messiah, standing where it ought not. It said, when in the holy place, and that would be in the temple, who readeth, let him understand. And I very well, how many of you understand? And he readeth, let him understand. It be just exactly as I'm speaking here, he says. Then he said, let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains, because great tribulation will come upon the world. Here he predicts. The time of the great tribulation is when he reveals himself in the holy temple there at that time. Translation, gone. Children of God, gone. The great tribulation then in the midst of the 7 years takes place on the face of the earth. And by election, there's some gone. And by election, some stay. And by election, some Hebrews protected and sealed. Isn't God wonderful? All of these things that he's doing here, that means you can't cast your faith aside because you won't be involved in the bride. You can't say, well, I don't care. No, that's not what election is. Election is the person that really believes it in their heart, and they act upon the word of God, and they believe by faith in God, in his miracles, and they believe in his divine purpose and his providence. Can you say amen? And they witness, no matter what Satan says, and they witness that he is King of glory and that he is eternal. Can you say praise the Lord here this morning? All right, so we've got that. So with all of these prophecies that come here, at the great tribulation, he predicted they'd fall by the sword and be led away captive in every nation. And then he would bring them back as a sign to the Gentile till the times of the Gentile are fulfilled. And the moment they begin to fill in to Jerusalem and build up that country and plant trees and have their own flag, their nation, their coins, they come home from the sword, he said. That was 2,000 years it took place. It did take place. No one thought it was going to take place. But the Lord allowed it to take place. That was a sign to the Gentile for great revival. There was a great outpouring, if you notice, right at that time. It came just at that time, and the gifts were restored again, and the apostolic power began to go forth. Some preached it really true. Some preached it kind of light, but it was preached, and the power of the Lord was everywhere, and the great revival swept across the earth until just about 1958 or 60, and it began to lull away. Now the growth is in a lull. Now he's going to quicken the sun. And he's going to bring some rain and let the heat hit it. And the heads are coming forth. And we're going into a revival of a short work of righteousness. How many of you believe that? Of power. And there's where in the election. The revival is coming. And we're going to have a great one among that seed. And I mean, he's going to move. How many of you believe that this morning? Do you believe that with all of your heart? This is a long ways from El Magordo, isn't it? Amen. In one sense of the word, did you see that? I brought that up because I thought it's the opposite of what they thought probably they was going to hear. But God bringing all these revelations in one way, though, that seed was elected out of there. How many of you can say amen? And we're talking about satanic forces there, if you got to see that this morning. But he loves you. And by election, if it were not for God, we'd all be destroyed, the Bible said. Did you believe that? Because his kindness, you can see it in election. You can see his divine love there. You can see, he said, you haven't called you. You haven't called me, but I've called you to bring forth fruit unto repentance. How many of you believe that? You don't. You get in such a shape, you call upon God, but he's already made the call. He's already called it. We're in the supper time of the age, at the end of the age. And like I said, as soon as they got in their homeland, he poured out a revival upon the Gentiles. Now it's going to sweep on back. It's going upon them Hebrews. We know that. But now it's on the Gentiles. The first anointing and the first power has come. The last one will be a quickening like lightning, and it'll be working like creative, and he will move and such great power upon that seed. So this morning, you thank God for election. You believe in divine providence, but you keep up your bargain with the Lord Jesus. But he's going to see that you're going to be there. He has made everything well. He has laid everything down. And Satan cannot take that real seed away from him. He couldn't do that. If there was a billion Satans, he couldn't do it. Because the Lord's rule overrules all things. Amen. But old Satan runs around and tries to hide it. But all you have to do is remember, go back when he was not elected and you've got it. Can you say amen? And you fix him right there. He doesn't like election because he was left out of it, because God foreknowing what would take place there. And then Brent sent the Lord Jesus Christ to bring us back to him. I want you to stand to your feet this morning here. Now what we're going to do, I'm going to pray for you. Notice tonight, we're going to pray for miracles on the platform. And I don't care what's wrong with you. You may have things cut out of your body. You may have been operated on for cancer, a tumor, heart problems. You may have bones cut away. It makes no difference. The Lord heals the people. It's by divine power that the people are healed. It's by his mercy that the people are healed. And tonight, I'm going to be praying for the sick tonight on the platform here. And I want every one of you that needs something, a miracle. If you're new here this morning, your heart has just been lifted up. Now, he knows you. You've heard the word of God. He's called you. This morning, you want to repent in your heart. And you want to accept that election. And believe that you're one of God's children. And by the faith inside of you, if I preach, did you know, in you already, the Lord revealed to me, is the beginning of a miracle. In each one of you. You have to develop that miracle. How many of you know it? There is a measure of faith in each one of you. Already there is inside of you a light of power. But you cover it up because you just darken it out. But you allow it to grow. And that's by expecting an acceptance of faith and power. And in there is the beginning of the miracle that you need in your life. In fact, it's the beginning of all the miracles that you'll ever need in this world. It is already there. Why don't you allow it to grow? Why don't you allow it to develop? Why don't you allow by praising the Lord? You that are new here this morning, you have it. It's within you. The kingdom of God, behold, is within thee, the Bible said. You can't look over here and look over there. He said it's within you. Allow it to develop. Begin to praise the Lord. Do what he says in the Bible about believing. And that light will begin to grow. It'll get so bright, it'll just blind Satan around you. Amen. Let your light shine. That's the anointing, he said, that it cannot be hidden. And so this morning, in your hearts, you accept the election of the Lord Jesus Christ calling you. You believe in your heart, and there is no way in the world that Satan can get you back by faith. And you believe the Lord. And tonight, I want you here on this platform, and I'll pray for you and give you a good start. If you need a miracle of healing, you also be here tonight, and I'll let you come up here. And right now, I'm going to pray a prayer and thank God that he's elected a group that will stand by faith, amen, and believe in him despite anything. He will do it, and he will bless his people. And be praying for revival, because we're headed for a great one. How many of you say? How many, some confusion cleared up here? I preached a little bit on this before. Raise your hands. You believe that? Why, most certainly. He's a real God. The judge of the earth will do that which is right. All right, now what you need this morning, you let it be known, the Bible said. It said you let it be known to God that has a throne and it believes. And as I pray, Lord, I command all of the oppression on anybody that's suffering from oppression or nerves or exhaustion. I command the tiredness and all of that to go from the mind and body and deliver them. Come on and praise him. Join into the prayer. Now he lives in the praises of his people and the atmosphere of his people. Glory to God. And Lord, we command it all to go and renew thy people's minds and hearts, delivering them. Touch the bodies here. Allow them to get relief from any kind of torment. Satan, we command you to go, that God's people are touched by the living God. The Lord Jesus is blessing his people. Come on and praise the Lord. Let us praise the Lord. Are you ready to go? Come on. We're all ready. Are you ready? Right away. Come on, Alton. Just raise them up there. Jesus. Oh, my. I believe Jesus. Hallelujah. I believe the Lord. Just raise them. Woo! Come on now. Just raise. Woo! Come on and praise them. Oh, Jesus. He's going to reach on out there. Really great. Come on. Oh, touch your hearts, Lord. And bless them. He's going to do it now. Isn't it wonderful?